Hello and welcome to Growing and Changing in Christ. This is a Christian broadcast made possible by the grace and loving kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Living Hope Bible Church in Roselle, Illinois. I'm your commentator, Sophia Taylor, and today's broadcast is brought to you by Pastor Matthew Black, Associate Pastor Michael Tiberi, Minister Dion Taylor, and Elder Marcel Reed at the Living Hope Bible Church. Today's broadcast is Traditions, Materialism, and Depression at Christmas.
Well, hello, everyone. We're so glad you joined us for this broadcast, and I love this time of year. It's one of my favorite times of year because we get to truly focus on the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, became a human being because he's so compassionate to display who God the Father is to us. And without that, we would all be lost, wouldn't we?
Amen.
We would have no hope. That's why I love this time of year. And there are many ways that we get to focus on this. For those who have the liberty to celebrate Christmas, some Christians don't have the liberty, and that's okay. You know, we support those who don't have the liberty, perhaps because Christmas has become materialistic. It has become, in some respects, even pagan, and has been somehow mixed up with the pagan traditions of the world. Of course, we reject those pagan traditions, but to celebrate the birth of Christ, as we learned last week, it's just sad that it's relegated to only one time of the year. We celebrate it all year long, but especially love the traditions of our families to focus on the birth of Christ. And I just wanted to go around with some of our friends here at Growing and Changing in Christ and find out what some of their Christmas traditions were. So maybe we should start with my brother Marcel and ask him. You know, he's got a large family, and I might say he's also a grandfather many times over. And teaching children is very important. What a great opportunity to teach children about the love of God and the birth of Christ and what he was born for, born to die for our sins. How do you celebrate this tradition of Christmas?
You're absolutely right, Pastor. This is an exciting time of the year. It's a time where family get together. Even friends, neighbors tend to gather at Christmas. And it is an excellent time of the year of not only to celebrate the birth of Christ, but also to exalt him in ways that you may not get an opportunity during other times of the year. So at our house, we really use this as an opportunity to teach the kids that the focus is not on the presents that they receive, but more so on the gift that God gave us through the birth of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. So although it's challenging sometimes, because you know how kids are, they're excited about the opportunity to open gifts, and what did they get from mom, what did they get from dad, what did they get from grandma and grandpa and so forth, but we at our home take the time before any gifts are open to gather around as a family, including the friends and neighbors or whoever may be over, and it doesn't matter whether they're believers or non-believers, it really does not matter. We gather around, and the first thing we do is we open up the Bible, begin with prayer, of course, and then we read the Christmas story, which is recorded in Luke chapter 2. And we read that, and after we read that, then we go around the room, and everyone gets an opportunity to express how Jesus Christ has blessed them throughout the year, and what Christmas means to them in the context of the birth of Christ. And it's really interesting to hear even the young ones express their desire to know Christ better, or express how God has blessed them, how, you know, God works through their mom or dad, and just the love of family. I mean, it's a lot of different ways kids express themselves, and it gives us an opportunity to bring the focus back to Christ. And even the unsaved folks that might be gathering with us, we give them an opportunity too. and you hear some strange things sometimes, but nonetheless, it's an opportunity for them to hear the gospel, even from the lips of babes. So that's something that we look forward to every year. And then, of course, we get together and we eat and just have a good time as family. So that's one of the ways that we have celebrated Christmas. And it's really been good because we started with our children, and now we see our children carrying on that tradition with their children. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to our grandchildren carrying on that tradition with their children. Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity for those who are listening. If you haven't already established a family tradition, to use this Christmas celebration as an opportunity to have the first family tradition established in your own family, whatever it may be, and then to be able to see that continue from generation to generation, or as long as God gives you life.
Amen.
Well, what about the Taylor family? I know you must have some Christmas traditions. Maybe you can share those as well with our listeners.
Every year we do street or mall witnessing, which we love. We bundle the kids up when they were younger, and now that they're older, not so much with them, but even if it's just a half hour, an hour, we go out and can pass out peppermints, even sugar-free peppermints. Someone's going to get that quiet moment, and hopefully that someone that doesn't know Christ, that they'll look at the back of that sortie or that track, and they'll read it, and they'll be led to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something when you come in and you're cold, and then you can have something warm to drink, and just sit down and think about it, hot tea, hot cocoa, and you talk about the people that you've seen. You may be the only one that's going to touch their life this Christmas, and that's one tradition that me and my husband, we still carry on.
One thing from studying many things about the Bible and about traditions, and when in seminary I took a very interesting course, Christian theology and things of that name, eschatology and all things, but it was real interesting when you get in the roots of it, you look at the Bible and stuff, you see the holidays that they celebrate, even our Lord celebrated and whatnot. And I have many diverse and ethnic ties, of course all Christians do, with the Christian faith and about various holidays and things like that. And some celebrated the Christmases, the Easters and things of that nature. Some didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me being a fresh, zealous type of ambitious young Christian as I was, Lord willing, I was trying to do everything I can to please Him with my faith. So it got to the point where it got to a wrestling match. Well, if Christians didn't do this, and Jesus didn't do this, and I believe every Christian runs to those situations in their life and whatnot. So I started looking for biblical answers. I know my wife is a very huge Christmas celebrator. Again, we pray before every presents open. We share biblical exegesis on what Jesus is and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a time of year where it can be sad, stressful. Of course, in America, to them, Christmas is just a holiday and credit cards and Black Fridays and other Fridays and all these other things. But to the Christian, it's something different.
Yes.
And we have to realize one thing, and I've got peace from reading Romans, the 14th chapter, and around the 4th and 5th and 6th verses where Paul had specifically said, hey, some saints hold some days in higher esteem than others. To them, if they do that, let them do that to the glory of God. Others may not. But again, they're living for the glory of God. So I got peace with that verse about the holidays and my diversity in the body of Christ of who celebrates what, who doesn't celebrate what. Okay? Now, again, I don't have the freedom in Christ to say, I'm going to worship this Christmas tree. I'm going to bow down to the Easter bunny. Of course not. We understand that. But let there not be any skirmishes or divisions about that. Remember, we're doing this unto the glory of God, not paganism, not the overtones that some of the pagan holidays in various countries, including our own, celebrate. But you remember that Jesus told us in this world we ought to be salt and light. And we can take that to Christmas. We can take that to any other day, that Christ can saturate and change that too. So even if it does have overtones of that, it doesn't mean Jesus can't overcome it. It doesn't mean we can't put Christ in it and what it means to us for it. Mm-hmm. So far as I'm concerned, God's Christmas tree was the cross. Far as I'm concerned, his gift was giving his son to us. Mm-hmm. And that's what Christmas means to me. And I'm sure it means the same to my brothers and sisters as well. If they don't celebrate it, amen, glory to God. Celebrate Christ in your own way. But that's what Christmas, mm-hmm. and I've got peace in my heart about that now, means to me.
So, Pastor Matt, what are some traditions that you have in your family?
Well, Pastor Michael, we have wonderful Christmas traditions that have gone back to my wife's childhood. And on Christmas Eve, we celebrate Jesus in a way that little children can understand. And so we don't have the ham or the turkey or whatever big dish that you're going to cook up. We have chicken fingers and French fries and Jell-O on Christmas Eve. Every Christmas Eve, yes. And we talk about the birth of Christ and how God loves us and how he sent his son in a little manger. And we might get a little baby doll out or something, and depending on the age of the children, you know, they do grow up. And then we will get a birthday cake, and we will sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And we will say, you know, even though God is eternal, he has no beginning. And when we tell him that, you know, they're like, wow, I can't, he never had a beginning. It's hard for them to, it's hard for adults to understand that. But that he actually, because of his mercy and kindness, became a human being. And that just thrills them. And we're able to say that Jesus has a birthday. Now, we tell them, we don't know when his birthday was. It was almost definitely not December 25th. But we've chosen this time as a way to pause and ponder and meditate on what Christ has done for us. So we do that on Christmas Eve, and then we have, you know, family times of singing and different things like that. And then Christmas morning is the most special time. Sometimes we'll do this Christmas Eve, sometimes we'll do it Christmas morning. Depends on the where people are living at that time and who can get where when. But Christmas morning, we will, everyone picks out a Christmas hymn about the birth of Christ. And we don't sing all the verses, otherwise, because our family has expanded, so, you know, there's a lot of hymns now. But what we've done is we've chosen prophecies of the birth of Christ. In fact, we used one of our family scripture readings last night for our candlelight Christmas service. And we read through all the prophecies of Christ. But what we did last night was what we do every year for our Christmas time. And basically, it's all the prophecies in the Old Testament about the birth of Christ. I should say, the important ones that we are reminded of, not every single one. But and then we'll also read the Christmas story out of Matthew and Luke. And each person is assigned something to read. Even the littlest ones who can't read memorize their verse. And so even if it's Ava saying, Jesus was born, you know, even if it's just that, we point to her, we've worked with her for a week or two, and she says, Jesus was born. And that's her part. And so then, in between the scripture readings, we'll sing Christmas hymns, and then we will open presents. And then for Christmas dinner, on Christmas Day, we will have an adult Christmas dinner, and all the fixins, you know. But before we eat, everyone has on their placemat a verse about light, how Jesus is the light of the world, and how we're to be lights in the world that shine in the darkness. And everyone has a verse about light, and we have candles lit, and we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world at Christmas time. And so all these little things make Christmas all much more festive and joyful and glorifying and honoring to God. So these are some of the Christmas traditions. And by the way, for our listeners, we are going to make available what we call the Christmas storybook. And it's this tradition that we have in our family. We've put it together on paper in a Word document or in a PDF. You can download it, either one. And you can actually put your own children's names where the prophecies are. It's all written out in the ESV version. If you want to change it to a different version, that's fine. And you can read these verses with your family this year. So we hope that you'll take advantage of that as well. Well, Pastor Michael, you're not yet married. So you must be thinking about Christmas traditions with Emily, your special someone. Soon you all will be married in May. And you must be thinking about the traditions that you want to establish. Are you going to be celebrating Christmas, or do you have a liberty? And if you do, what are some Christmas traditions that you might have?
Well, Pastor Matt, I do have the liberty to celebrate Christmas. I think it is a wonderful time of year to remember Christ coming for us and being the incarnate one. And I enjoy celebrating Christmas. I didn't grow up with too many sacred traditions, and I'm learning from different families in the church, and my family has started to incorporate some traditions and such, but I really like the idea of having a birthday cake for Jesus and singing happy birthday. I really, really like that. There's another family in our church that does that as well, and I thought it's just a great idea, so I could definitely see doing that in my family. And also, you know, singing sacred Christmas hymns together and, you know, taking that time before, you know, we open gifts and, you know, sit down around the Christmas tree and to read the narratives and the gospel of the birth of Christ and his coming in the flesh, and maybe even looking at some verses in like Philippians and such that talk about Christ incarnate and, you know, having a little devotional about what it means for Christ to come for us, to come in the flesh. Maybe look at some passages in Hebrews and such. And then I could imagine, you know, singing different Christmas hymns and even talking about them and what they're saying, because there's some of them are so rich theologically, and they're just beautiful. Some of them I wonder why we don't sing them all year round, like Joy to the World or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. They're wonderful, yes. Wonderful songs that are beautiful, and the message in them is they're great. I love them. So I could definitely see doing those different things, and I'm sure we'll come up with some traditions once we're married that I don't know what we're going to do yet, but I'm really excited to learn those, figure out what we're going to do, and to talk through it with Emily and come up with some great traditions together. So,
Sophia, you mentioned a story about Christmas that occurred in your Sunday school class.
I did. Yesterday I was teaching the 2 to 5-year-olds, and out of respect, I've always did this from every Sunday school I've taught years back. I call the kids either Miss or Mr. And I said, Mr. Evan, which is Mr. Evan Black, that's pastor's son. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about teaching your kids from little, and they'll take it, and what they remember now, they'll have it for the rest of their lives. Everyone wrote, they did Christmas cards. And Evan said inside his, he said, I want you to write, it's not about the cake, and it's not about the presents. So we asked him again, what is it you want us to write in there? I want you to write, it's not about the cake and the presents. He was very serious in what he wanted written inside of there. And you know what? There was no one there to tell him. There was no one there to coach him.
That's right.
And this was so amazed, because you know what?
Amen.
You know what it says? We ought to be examples. This kid touched my heart, because this is what he wanted to show in the Christmas card in Sunday school. So we wrote that, and he colored the outside. But believe me, little kids can teach you far more than what you know.
Yes, it can.
Well, Sophia, that's a great segue into our next section about materialism and keeping Christ in Christmas. That's what this broadcast is all about today, that we would find ways to keep Christ in Christmas. It's not about the cake, although Evan does like cake. And it's not about the presents, and Evan can't wait to get his presents. But we know, while the gift of cakes and presents and all these wonderful things are all good in their place, their place is much lower, far, far lower than our incomparable Jesus.
Yes.
He is God, and nothing compares to him. Amen. And we want to keep him front and center. But there does tend to be a real culture shift, not only in our working environments, in the stores that we're in. No longer is it Christmas, it's the holiday season. It's...
Right.
people are not saying Merry Christmas anymore. They're saying Happy Holidays because they don't want the name of Christ. And even in our schools, we used to have all kinds of things that mentioned the Christmas story. Even when I was a child, I was born in 1974. I know that's young for you, Brother Marcel. You know, yeah. But I don't know what it was like in the Great Depression, but I do know that things have changed a lot in our culture, and maybe I can ask you all, who have had even more years than I have, all respect given, as to how things have changed.
Well, you know, after we got rid of our sleigh and horse, we got our first automobile. but in all seriousness, I attended a Catholic school growing up. I also attended a public school for a while. And while in a public school, I noticed that just like in a Catholic school, it was okay to sing Christmas hymns. You know, Joy to the World, Little Town of Bethlehem, songs which really exalted Christ, mentioned his name. We would have, you know, our Christmas presentation in the public school where the kids would prepare and they would have a Christmas play. And it was okay to dress up in a star or to be a shepherd or even have a nativity scene up on the stage. And no one was offended. In fact, people were curious and edified by it. But then things changed. Times changed. It was okay to have and to say Merry Christmas back in those days. But as times changed, the schools, the public schools, said it was not okay. You can't say Merry Christmas. Or you can't say you're going to have a Christmas break, you know, and the kids will be out for the Christmas holiday. They said that was offensive to some people. And so you had to say, we're going to be out for a holiday break. Or we're going to have a holiday celebration or a season break. And it was really kind of discouraging to see that because then the world began to take on that same attitude. Even in the stores, at one point they would say, well, we're going to say we're going to have a holiday sale. We're not going to have a Christmas sale. Yes. It'll be a holiday sale. Yes. Well, what holiday? You know, and it was just kind of discouraging to see things kind of take that path, but all the more reason that Christians should be more deliberate and adamant about, at least in their own homes, in their own hearts, right, taking the opportunity to celebrate the Christmas holiday and to be willing to share that with others, because I think the world, for the most part, they don't know. Usually it's an agenda behind changing a name or changing, you know, making sure you take Christmas out of everything. Mm-hmm. It's usually an agenda from, you know, one group or another, and the world just kind of goes along with, you know, whatever is politically correct.
Amen.
So Christians should take the opportunity to say, hey, well, you know, there is another way to look at things from the original biblical perspective that even brought Christmas into the focus, the reason that we celebrate it, why we celebrate it. We're not celebrating December 25th for December 25th's sake. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we could celebrate October 25th.
Right.
Or we could celebrate February 25th.
Right.
You know, we could celebrate the 25th of any day. But the 25th signifies, even though historically it may not be correct, I think as was mentioned, but it signifies the birth of Christ.
Yes.
And there's no getting around that. So we need to have that attitude as the world continues to try to push Christ out of the picture. You know, it's all about presents, it's all about cakes.
Yeah.
It's all about all these things, you know, that kind of take our minds away from the focus of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be, you know, really steadfast, particularly with our children, because they are the next generation.
That's right.
And there will be other agendas that we may even not see that are being contemplated, and they'll need to take on the fight. They'll need to carry the banner of Christ further into the future.
Let me mention how we can possibly fight against materialism, because even as Christians, we are not trying to keep Christ out of Christmas. We want Christ in Christmas. Yet, Satan has his own deceptive ways of trying to get our focus off of Christ. And each one of us has a heart that is prone to covetousness.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. We need to remember that at this Christmas season, that Christ, he gave up all that he had, you know. And so if we get in the grind of comparing our gifts and what we got and hard feelings because we didn't get what we hoped for, then we've just adopted the world's philosophy, even if we do read the Christmas story on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage us to share some things that we've done purposely to minimize materialism on Christmas. One of the things that we've done is each year we try to not get a ton of gifts for our children, mm-hmm. but to get things that will be practical and helpful
Amen.
For their lives.
Amen.
You know, certainly want to get them some spiritual helps. You know, sometimes we'll get them study helps, a good book for them to read that will help them in their Christian life, but also just practical things and necessities that they might want and need. So we try to do that, but we'll often get them something that they're hoping for, but we'll get them one thing, and we won't multiply it with stacks and stacks of presents.
That's right.
Now, we will give them little things, you know, their favorite candy, mm-hmm. you know, a gift certificate to go out to eat at their favorite restaurant or whatever. You know, McDonald's, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, little things, socks, you know, things that they'll use. We stuff their stockings. We do all kinds of little things, but little gifts that say, I love you. And to say that they're important to us and that they're special, that each one is special. So it's an opportunity to do that. But to stay away from the grind and the game of materialism.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you all do to try to keep the focus on the Lord?
Well, Pastor, this is the second year in a row we've started giving our kids their gifts prior to Christmas. My daughter, Marissa, asked for a membership to Costco. She's got that already. Trisha didn't have a phone, so we got her a phone, which that's going to be a little bit more costly down the road, but that's okay because she's really worthy of it. My son needed a gas card, so we're going to put a nice amount of money on a gas card, but they've got their main gift already.
Yep.
This is over, so when we come back from the sortie, we can eat, and there's the little gifts that they'll have, but everyone's opened their gifts already. And I know everyone, and that's not for everyone, so you don't have to take this to heart and do that. But we do it about a week before, and they're happy, and they're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, like I said, it's not for everyone, but we found it to be a lot better because on that day of Christmas, mm-hmm. there's not this big thing of this is all I got or that's what I got. So we're enjoying that way.
Deanna and Sophia, you mentioned going to a sortie. I've never heard that term before. What is that?
Well, a sortie is short for sorting out or handing out gospel tracts or material. Same as Christians would do in far as just going door to door witnessing, as we call it. We have many people with messianic Christian ties that call it sorties or just handing out biblical material and whatnot. So we prepare for that for the major holidays, going to malls, street corners, downtown. And in the midst of the holiday shopping sprees and frenzies and things of that nature, that's what we still remember. Hey, small voices, small material, but remember the Lord in all the mess. Remember the Lord in all your shopping. Remember who gave you the gifts to slide your credit cards and things of that nature. So these are things that we use as far as our biblical traditions in our home. Years ago, before we moved to Illinois, me and Sophia had an interesting Christmas Day experiment one time. I mean, we kind of got into buying everything for the kids. I mean, the whole tree was about to explode and things were everywhere and the fireplace was going. And this is when the kids were real young, and that's when me and Sophia you know, talked and looked at each other and said, you know, we got to teach them what more so what Christ is all about. They're smart kids. They understand. And we need to put more emphasis on that. But one day we prayed and we did what we normally did. And they were all up to a very, what I would consider, accountable age.
Definitely.
And after we said our amens, we just kind of sat back and watched the kids enjoy anything. And they tore off like a fox into a hen house and just was grabbing everything inside and busting open the boxes and everything. And we just watched. And you can just see the mind look in their eyes. Mine, 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 gimme, gimme. And they were just gone. And me and Sophia just sat there and we kind of like was just watching very quietly. And it was like they were the only ones under that tree in the presence in the room. And this went on for an hour until everything of theirs was torn open in the floor, bells and whistles all going off and whatnot. And then they finally came down from the dopamine and the excitement. And they came and said, you know what, Mom, Dad, we love you. It finally wore off. But the point being is this. Most of America, most of society, for that matter, is in the same frenzy. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Wall Street knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart knows that. America and most of the world far is built on the establishments of business and fair trade, really called greed.
Mm.
A lot of times to send people spending what they don't have to please folks they don't care about in the marketplace. They know that. And they're cashing in on that. So this is what we have to make our children and Christians aware of. In the midst of it, you don't have to be a part of the culture. Keep Christ the salt and light of the world of this Christmas and any holiday and every day in your lives, and you'll be okay. But make sure you really make him the focal point, and you can avoid those dangers. And this is some of the traditions that we've put down, changed, and watch Christ grow and magnify to tell that to other brothers and sisters and those who are lost in this world.
Sophia, let me ask you, you know, I know you and Dion pretty well. I know that at one time in your life, you worked for the Chrysler Corporation and were very high up, members of the $100,000 club, and so to speak, and had a very free lifestyle. And for reasons to honor God and just a change in your life, you've chosen not to be part of that club, and you've actually come to know what it means not to be able to do everything that you want to do. Maybe you can talk about that and relate to those who may be struggling at this Christmas time because of materialism and not being able to keep the focus right. Talk about that great shift from having financial freedom to a little less financial freedom for those who are listening out there.
This whole thing I would just call the more or the less. I was saved when we had more. I am still saved when we have less. But you know something? When we had a lot less, which we do now compared to the $100,000 club, they call that because at Chrysler, with the overtime, there's nowhere in America that a janitor, my husband worked in blocks and engines, but if they need you to do janitorial work, you make the rack up the overtime. That's 12 hours a day at $31 an hour. And you guys know because that's how it was. And so you become the $100,000 club. And let me tell you something about giving your kids. It's going to become a shift in how they treat you. When you lose something, you'll see how much your kids love Christ. And you know it'll hurt you more than anything. No matter how well you did for those kids, no matter how well you put Christ into their life, they're going to show you that that money and those finances, guys, was a little bit more important. And you know what you're going to say? I should have backed off then. So keep Christmas in Christ. Because I'm telling you, if you don't, they're going to show you who their God was. And it's going to be an eye opener. It's going to show you yourself who your God was as well.
You know, Sophia, that brings out a very, very important part of this broadcast that we want to focus on, and that is depression. And in our economy, in the radical swings from luxury to less that we have in pretty much every family in at least the Chicago area. Christmas time can be very, very depressing. It can be filled with anxieties and fears. Not only that, but not only the financial pressure, but there's also unique family pressures.
Yes.
That we face at these kinds of holidays, especially Christmas. And it's so noticeable at Christmas time, the disintegration of the family.
Yes.
I know at my house, we were told when I was 8 years old that my mom and dad were going to be divorced. And so Christmas time meant I had to think about that because my dad was not present. He was not there. Maybe we can talk about depression and anxiety at Christmas time. And what should we do as Christians? What kind of promises and helps do we have from the Lord to deal with this kind of pressure?
Well, Pastor Matt, you know, I come from a divorced family. My parents divorced when I was like 18 years old. It was definitely made life hard after that. Holidays were never all that exciting anymore. Christmas time was always just very busy because now there was, you know, I'd go by my mom's and then go by my dad's. And then we'd have with my mom's family and then my dad's family. And there was always like five or six Christmas celebration things to go to. And just constant, you know, kind of just get wore out from it. And, you know, you're just faced with the reality of having a broken family. You know, I love family. I grew up in a relatively great home life. I enjoyed my family. I enjoyed being around family. I enjoyed having Christmas at our house and celebrating together. And then that was gone. And it was really hard. And I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. And there was families who took me in. And I was able to, you know, come and be in a safe place when I was going through hard times. It still didn't take away the reality of facing those things at Christmas time. And realizing that over the years, how the Lord has really sanctified me and has comforted me through those times. And remembering that the narrative of Christmas was not convenient. It wasn't, everything wasn't perfect, you know. Joseph and Mary had to go to, you know, Bethlehem for the census, and then no one, in, most likely it was going to their family, to a guest house, and none of their family would have them because of the scandalousness of the fact that Mary was pregnant, and they weren't fully married yet. You know, they were only betrothed at this point, and there was scandal all around it, and so the only place left for them was in the barn. You know, the place where the animals are. They don't have there's no room in the guest room for you. You know, we don't have a free room for you. We can't have you in our home, but yeah, you can have this spot. You know, and to see that here's Christ coming into the world, and there's no room for him. And after Christ was born, Herod was putting all those 2 years and younger to death, and Joseph and Mary had to take Jesus and flee to Egypt, and there's just not a lot of convenience going on at the holidays. Not a lot of great things when you know just looked at it on its surface. But realizing, even in the midst of all that, here was salvation. Here was deliverance. Here was Christ, the King, born in the midst of chaos, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of evil. And there was joy. The shepherds rejoicing. The kingmakers coming and worshiping him as the Christ child. And them taking, you know, Jesus to the temple and Simeon rejoicing because he knew he would see the Christ child before he died. And here you have all this joy in the midst of chaos. And it's the reality that joy isn't based on our circumstances. And so I don't know what Christmas is like for you. I don't know what kind of struggles you've gone through. I don't know what your family is like. I don't know. Maybe this is the hardest time of year for you. But realize that your joy is found in Christ, that it's not based on circumstances, because he is the unchanging one. And because he's the unchanging one, he sustains us even through the hard times, and that you can rejoice that he came to save you in the midst of all this brokenness, that he came in your flesh, and that as the author of Hebrews says, that he has experienced your weakness, that he, Christ Jesus, has experienced temptation and struggles and pain and sorrow, yet without sin. And he understands, and that he is a faithful high priest. He is a faithful high priest who is sympathetic with us because he knows what it is to have weakness. He knows what it is to hurt. He knows what it's like to lose a father. You know, Joseph would have been his earthly father, even though it wasn't his biological father. He would have cared for him and helped provide for him. But we don't hear any mention of Joseph after Jesus is older. So most likely, He passed away at some point in Jesus' life. He knows what it's like. And I just tell you that he understands, and that he's making all things new, and that you can rejoice during the season, even if it's hard. Even if it's hard, he's there, and he understands you, and he comforts you with in your afflictions.
Pastor Michael, I'd like to add a little bit to that as well. January 1st, 1990, just after midnight, so we had just had the New Year's Eve celebration. My mother died when I was 15. She was 49 years old. And so sometimes the holiday season can be really difficult because those who you are used to seeing are no longer there. And I want to encourage you one thing very briefly, is that it was at that time, I was a brand new Christian. I was 3 months in the faith. I was stripped bare to my soul. I had no one and nothing. My father was 800 miles north in Chicago. I stayed with friends of the family for 6 months. And I was stripped bare to what I really was, and all I truly had was Christ. And you know what? That was good. That was a good thing, and it is a good thing. And even though I miss my mother to this very day terribly, especially at Christmas time, Christ is all I need, and he's all any of us need. And that's a wonderful thing to remember for those of you who are suffering. Maybe you've had a spouse die this year, a child die, someone you were very close to, and they're no longer with you. I want to encourage you. Christ is all you need. Honor their memory of those who you don't have, or maybe there's been a divorce, maybe you're a young person listening to this and you've got all this chaos of a dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you that if you're in Christ, all these things will work together for your good and for God's glory.
Amen.
I think about Joseph, who had such a dysfunctional family. He ended up in prison, and from the prison, God put him in the palace.
Amen.
And God did great things. Though they meant it for evil, God meant it for good, to save many people. And that's what he's doing through your brokenness. He wants to save many people. Now, Sophia, maybe you can help us as well with some things that we can do concerning depression and anxiety during this Christmas season.
You know, I was reading an article from online from December 2013 from Fox News, and it was called Surprising Causes of Winter Depression. Now, you're going to hear me turn the page because some of these are quotes from the article, and then I'm going to add in some biblical things. And it says that one of the causes for winter depression was being overwhelmed with family obligations. This article goes on to say the familial gatherings and all the holiday stress and drama they can bring can cause depression, but that it's extreme, but it's entirely within your power to decline any stress-induced invites. So you know what I said when they said stress-induced? You've induced this. So as a Christian, I know what Christmas truly means. In Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So I say December 25th, it should show a festive of not how good you were all year, but how grateful you were for the incarnation of the birth of Christ. Yes, baby in the manger was and is God. His essence did not change, just as your essence doesn't change. It's intrinsic. You know, it's something that it can't change. It's the very character of who you are. Just as God was and is, no matter what form, age, or location, or space and time, he is God. However, what struck a powerful core in this article is when the writer said, regarding family gatherings, that it's entirely within your power to decline any stress-induced invites. So I went on to look this up, notice something that the writer of this article says, stress-induced. Webster's Dictionary defines induce as to persuade, influence, encourage. The biblical definition, it means won by words to believe, to win one's favor, gain goodwill, convince. Getting the other person to see you in a favorable or desirable way. So what I want to tell you is any stress-induced, stress-encouraged, stress-influenced, stress-pleads that you have, when someone continually tells you, come on over, but you know what's going to happen in the end, drunkenness, family brawls, any of that, that's your call, your decision. No longer can you say, that's just my family, that's the way they are, and I'm going. If the stress you're feeling is severe enough to cause you to be depressed, you need to break the pattern by remembering as a Christian why you are celebrating this day. Stand up for Christ. In terms of not running toward the stress, I'm telling you to say no to family gatherings. No, I'm not. I'm telling you to make a better decision. I'm asking you to seriously consider the seriousness of Christ and his birth. Will you be persuaded when you go? Will you be persuaded if you stay? Be persuaded like little Evan Black did to put Christ in Christmas. Otherwise, just say happy holidays. But if you're doing it for Christ, say Merry Christmas.
And it is a very Merry Christmas because through these traditions, through the scripture reading, through putting Christ first, keeping Christ in Christmas, we can be growing and changing in Christ.
Amen.
This broadcast message was brought to you by Living Hope Bible Church, located at 6 North 171 Gary Avenue in Roselle, Illinois, 60172. You can reach us by phone at 630-529-8949 or reach us on the web at livinghopechurch.net. If you are not saved or not sure or looking for a Bible-centered church where the Holy Bible is preached, taught, and applied, please visit us Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning service, and for Sunday evening service at 5 p.m. And we have Bible study service Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to today's message titled Traditions, Materialism, and Depression at Christmas. And we hope and pray that you too will be growing and changing in Christ.